There was a looming deadline and no time to check what he'd written. The publisher received the chapters one by one and, unedited, simply sent them on at once to the printers. It was a huge commercial success, at one point selling over 3,000 copies in one day. A book about a fish selling 3,000 copies in one day. I am always intrigued by the difficulties and doubts, and even the despair experienced by the great writers. It's a comforting thought for me when I look down at my blank page every morning. I can think to myself, it's all right. Henry Williamson went through the same despair, the same doubts. I do know a little of what he was going through, especially in relation to Selah, which must have seemed to him an almost impossible book to write. The most impossible book I ever persuaded myself I could write was about the life saga of a swallow. The whole idea itself may well have been inspired by Selah and Tarka in the first place. Henry Williamson was amongst those authors who showed me the way to my own writing. Indeed, I think they showed me the way to my own living, how to live, where to live even. I was brought up on poets like Kipling and Wordsworth, was read Kingsley's The Water Babies and many of the books by B.B. Later, I came across John Clare, Edward Thomas, and most importantly of all, Ted Hughes and Henry Williamson. All these writers, each in his own way, brought me closer to the world of nature, to a desire to feel part of it. They opened my eyes, helped me to breathe in the world about me. They still do. So it was in part because of them that I found myself living and working on a farm in Devon, where I had the opportunity to watch the swallows arriving in spring. Every day I'd be there watching them dipping down into the puddles for mud, building their nests. I'd see the head and tail of the sitting bird. I'd listen for the first cheeping of the brood, witness the gaping beaks, the parent birds coming and going tirelessly feeding their chicks. I was there sometimes for the first triumphant flight of the young birds, to see all the siblings lined up on the telegraph wire, and I was with them for all the summer as they skimmed over the mown hayfields, as each became a supreme aerial acrobat, a genius of a flying gymnast. All too soon, with the first gales of autumn, they were waiting to go, ready to go, and then they were gone. I knew, as we all do, that they go to the warmth of Africa for the winter, and then return, like salmon, to their place of birth. But how they get there and back, and what happens to them on the way, I had no idea. Those journeys I had to imagine. I had to fly with my swallow in my mind's eye, to endure the dangers and difficulties he encountered. I had to live his life, be him. So whilst the trigger for my story might have been my fascination as I witnessed the comings and goings of swallows on the farm, I am quite sure that it was the work of other writers that inspired that fascination in the first place and gave me the confidence to take on the challenge. Somehow, they seem to have been so immersed in the natural world about them that they were no longer mere observers, but part of that natural world, as much as part of it as a nettle, a bee, or a buzzard. Or a pied woodpecker, one just came to my window and watched me writing this. Or a swallow, or a salmon. All of them had a way of painting a picture with words, of singing the song of the wild, of drawing me close with word songs and images, that opened my eyes and my mind and touched my heart. These writers made me look again and wonder again. Great poets do this. Storytellers rarely. It is a rare gift indeed for a storyteller to be poet as much as a storymaker, to tell a tale so deeply engaging that the reader wants to know what will happen and never wants it to end, and yet, at the same time, tells it in such a way as to leave a reader wide-eyed with amazement at the sheer intensity of feeling that can be induced by the word magic of a poet. Henry Williamson is just such a storymaker poet. I never met Williamson, but I knew someone who did, a poet who knew him well. I met this poet down by the River Torridge, the sister river of the Tor, a place of herons and kingfishers, otters and salmon. He was fishing for sea trout late on a summer's evening and loomed up from under the riverbank. I remember it.